Live from the studios of Fox Sports Knoxville, this is the G.I. Jake Show, featuring Brett Hollander, Marcus Young, and your host, the unfiltered, unscripted, loose cannon of Knoxville sports radio, Jake Miller. The G.I. Jake Show starts now on Fan Run Radio.
And welcome in to the G.I. Jake Show right here on Fan Run Radio, live in the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios. Jake Miller, Brett Hollander, intern Jack, as Joel Klatt has put out his post-spring top 25 right as we went off the air yesterday. We're going to be talking a little bit about that. Tennessee has a baseball game tonight, 6 o'clock, against Queens University. Should win that game. I don't want to drop another midweek game. Nobody wants to drop another midweek game. That's bad.
That is bad.
We don't want bad. We want good. We want good, not bad. Anyway, I expect Tennessee to win tonight, and I expect this series this weekend to be probably pretty electric. I expect it to be electric, to be honest with you.
Yeah, it should be.
And I think that we can go in, we can win all three games. Like I said yesterday, I think that we can win out. I think that Tennessee can win their last 8 baseball games and get that momentum going into Hoover, and then carry that into a regional, and then a super regional, and all the way to Omaha, 920 miles. That's how far we got to go to Omaha, 920 miles.
We're getting familiar with that trip.
We're getting pretty familiar with it. I mean, 2 out of the last 3 seasons, you've made it, and really it should have been the past 3 seasons. Your best team, in which we've had over the past 3 years, didn't make it.
Well, and he thought his COVID team was probably his best team.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. So that one got short. So you're looking at multiple years you could have been there consecutively.
Yeah, I mean, you're looking at what now? 4 years in which you probably could say, yeah, we went to Omaha, and this year would be number 5?
Yeah.
It should be. But, I mean, you're looking at, you know, 3 out of the last 4 teams you've had making it to Omaha, and, you know, like we mentioned the other day, it's just night and day difference from what the program was, and now you've built baseball into something that I wouldn't say is 100% profitable yet, but it's getting there.
I would agree. Yeah.
I would say that you can generate enough off of baseball now to justify it's like, okay, well, we can take some of this money and not have to use as much on the baseball team because they're bringing in some of their own money as you would have in the past. You know, obviously football used to fund pretty much everything
right
around the school, especially during the Buzz Peterson years, the Konzo Martin years, the Donnie Tindall year.
Yeah, and you're expanding the stadium, so that's going to bring in more fans, which is more revenue. You know,
donation prices are going up, man.
Yeah, so
I mean, that's another thing too. That's the one downside to all this is there's going to be a lot more donations that have to be made, and people are just going to make them.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something, you know, that's not really sitting well with me or a lot of people that I talk to, because, you know, I know a guy, and he does a lot with the baseball team. You know, as far as, you know, wanting to support the team, you know, whether that be his season tickets, you know, and he said, well, we basically got priced out of the seats that we were in.
Right.
So we've had to pretty much take a downgrade, in a sense. Because he's like, we just couldn't justify that price
right,
to pay for these seats.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, they still go, but at the same time, it's like they don't want to have to keep paying more and more of a donation. And I'm pretty sure that's going to go up.
Right.
And we've already had the issue with fans getting kicked out of their seats in Neyland Stadium.
Mm-hmm.
And being moved over to the north end zone, a lot of people were not happy about that.
Right.
And rightfully so. I mean, if you've sat in those seats for years and years and years, granted, I know that contract or that, you know, grandfathering into the old rate was done in the 1970s, and that was probably pretty expensive at the time.
Yeah.
But if you're locked into a contract, I don't know if it was actual contract, whether it was a handshake agreement, whatever it may be. Yeah, those people got screwed.
Yeah.
We'll call
it
like
they have to move because of all the renovations? Like they put in the, you know, the new seats behind the bench. And
yeah, so with
obviously
the
Danny, you know, the, you know, up there. So
the
seats,
deck.
Yeah, they take out seats for that, you know. So, I mean, is that the main reason why they're having to move?
I mean, they've already had to move, but,
yeah,
you know, they put the premium seating in behind the bench.
Right.
Behind the sideline. And
I've heard mixed reviews on that stuff. People aren't, like, some people aren't happy about it.
Some
people aren't showing up until, you know, after the game started, you know, things like that.
Well, I mean, that's something that bothers me quite a bit, to be honest with you. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's not just football, it's baseball as well. You know, the MVP seats behind home plate.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I expect those seats to be filled.
Right.
I expect people to be in those seats because, number one, you're paying for them. There's nothing worse than paying for something and not using it. That's just like going and buying, you know, $200 worth of strawberries and then not eating a single strawberry and letting them rot. Mm-hmm. That's just throwing money away.
Right.
And Tony's voiced his displeasure with it as well. It's like, you're paying for the seats. You better sit in them. It's like, we need you there.
Right.
Regardless if you're 95 or 5, we need you in the seat. We need noise.
Yeah. So it, I mean, for the most part, it's they do a good job, people that go to the games. I mean, we sell out every place. I mean, weren't we like number one in attendance between all like the three main sports this past season?
Yeah.
In attendance? You know, and that's only going to increase with baseball getting a bigger stadium and things like that. Football's getting good, so you're going to get sellouts every weekend now, it seems like, you know, every Saturday. Good or bad team that you play, I feel like people are going to go to the games, and that was something you didn't see a few years back before Heupel got here. You know, he's got the excitement back, so people are going to go spend the money on concessions and tickets, and it's not going to be an easy ticket to find anymore like it used to, or we're not giving them to visiting teams that are coming in here now. So.
Right.
Which is always a plus. So
I mean, and think about how weird that was. I mean, we had to give tickets away at one point in 2017. I mean, we were basically just saying, hey, you know, let's send these to, you know, this nonprofit or this charity organization just to get people in the stadium. Because, you know, the whole hashtag empty kneeling thing became a thing.
Yeah.
Because the reason they do that, Jack, it's like, on one hand, it shows that you're not supporting your team. But on the other hand, the revenue for concessions, the revenue for all the extra stuff, is not coming in.
Right.
Yeah. It's not a cheap Saturday, that's for sure.
No. No, and you, I mean, you think it's expensive for the fans. I mean, it's very expensive to put these events on as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because, I mean, you're factoring in how many sodas, like how many of the punch bags you have to buy, basically.
Right.
Essentially, of soda. Mm. How many water bottles?
Hot dogs.
Hot dogs.
Popcorn, yeah.
Nachos.
Yeah. Everything.
Imagine if we were reusing the nacho cheese from one Saturday to the next.
That's gross. I don't even want to think about that.
I mean, think about that. If you went to a game in 2017, by the time Vanderbilt rolled around, you were using the nacho cheese that was probably bought for the Georgia game of that year.
Yeah, I sure hope not.
They had to scrape a little bit off the top,
gross,
just throw it in the trash.
Gross.
Okay, well, this is still good. Let's just throw it on the nachos.
Yeah, they won't know the difference.
They'll never know.
Yeah.
They'll never know.
I don't even want to think about that.
Jumping to football. As we just did, Joel Klatt put out his post-spring top 25 yesterday, and we're going to go in order from 1 to 25, and then we're going to break these down over the course of the show.
Count down or up?
I'm going to...
Are you going to start at 25 or are you going to start at 1?
Let's start at 1 because the ones at the top are not really...
We don't really care.
I mean, we
can. Well, I mean, yeah, I thought you meant the ones at 25.
Really,
we don't care.
No real surprises, I guess I should say.
Yeah.
Except maybe one that got left out, but...
Of the top 10 or out of the top 25?
Out of the top 25.
Really?
Yes.
Okay.
One, there was one in here that really surprised me.
Okay.
Number one, of course, you got Ohio State.
Of course. I would have. That's surprising.
I was shocked to see that.
Yeah.
See, I wasn't necessarily so shocked because they got all those transfers like when everybody had the mass exodus down at Alabama.
Yeah, but I don't can't even name their quarterback.
No, but
that seems like a key thing. Like I was saying yesterday, there was like a number 33 is their quarterback.
No,
like,
but you've got the Lincoln Riley of the Big Ten and Ryan Day up there.
And that's the other thing. I mean, I guess it's post-spring, so we'll give them benefit of the doubt right now.
Number two, Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
Number three, Texas. Number four, Oregon.
Hmm.
Number five, Ole Miss.
That was crazy.
Wow.
Number six, Utah. Number seven,
wow.
Alabama. Number eight, Michigan. Number nine, Penn State. Number 10, Missouri.
They're always so overrated.
Number 11, Notre Dame. I can at least get behind this one because they're not in the top 10 just because their name's Notre Dame.
That's true.
And number 12, you got Florida State. 13, Clemson. 14, LSU. 15, USC. 16, Tennessee. 17, Oklahoma. 18, Miami. 19, Oklahoma State. I'm a man, I'm 40. Number 20, Kansas State. Number 21, Arizona. Number 22, Nebraska. Number 23, Kansas. 24, Iowa. 25, Texas A&M. Go around the room real quick here. Which one of these were the biggest surprise?
Well, I mean, you said it pretty early. I mean, Ole Miss at 5 is kind of crazy. I think Penn State Penn State at 9 is surprising to me. I don't think that guy's much of a quarterback. And, I mean, I think they lost a fair bit. I mean, they lost their best edge rusher in Chop Robinson, and
that one was the most interesting.
I mean, they're probably still. I mean, obviously, I don't know what's coming back for these teams who transferred in and out, but just from what I remember last year, like all the big games, Penn State was just brutal to watch. Just that quarterback couldn't do a thing. Drew Ayler. I mean, then I think the rest. I don't think I remember anybody. I was trying to think of the one you said was omitted from the top 25 that I don't know if I caught, that who you thought was out and should have been in.
See if Jack caught it.
I'm thinking, yeah, I was thinking of one team. But first, yeah, having Ole Miss at 5, that was nuts. LSU, I feel like, has been higher in most of the rankings I've seen. But yeah, NC State not being there is what jumped out to me.
Did you say Missouri?
Missouri's number 10.
Oh, Missouri's 10. Okay.
All right. Utah being at number 6, that one, I mean, they went 8-5 last year.
I think because the conference they're going to be in, there's not going to be a lot of competition.
Yeah, it's kind of like the thing with Ole Miss and Missouri. Like, they're not going to have any tough games.
Well, I mean, it's like the Pac-12. It's just this year's Pac-12.
I mean, Utah goes to Colorado. Is that their toughest game? Like, I don't know who their non-conference is this year. I'm going to look up their schedule.
I don't even know who they're playing, to be honest with you. But there is one team that was not in the top 25. And I can't remember the last time I saw this. Washington, who was just in the national championship.
That's true. Yeah.
They lost a lot, man.
They lost a lot.
Their coach, their quarterback, their star receiver. Pretty sure their running back.
Yeah, Utah's schedule's pretty easy.
That's the first time I think I've ever seen that. To make it as far as they did and to not even be ranked in the top 25. And they put Texas A&M over
you. They lost their entire coaching staff. They lost Penix. They lost their center. They lost their receivers.
Yeah, but, I mean, they put in Nebraska at number 22, who went 5-7 last year.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, again, like Jake said, it's got to be just the conference they're in, man. It's just it's not hard.
I'll be honest, I don't even know. Like, there's been.
And
so
they
much
must
movement.
Think this Dylan Raiola kid is just the truth. Like, yep. That's the only other thing I can think of. I mean,
why would you want to go to Nebraska though?
I don't know.
They're a museum.
They got corn. I don't know.
That's about it. I mean, they're a museum program. They have not done it. And do you know what the term museum program means, Jack?
I mean, yeah, they were good back in the day, but it's been a minute.
Like,
it's
the prime definition of a...
Was the last time they were good is when we played them in the Music City Bowl, when Barnett broke the sack record or
I
whatever?
I mean, they were like 7-5, 8-4. They weren't that great.
But, I mean, I can't think of the last time they were in a... Even, that might be the last time they were in a bowl game.
They were playing for the Big 12 championship when they were in the Big 12, because the worst thing they ever did was go to the Big 10.
Right.
That was the worst thing Nebraska could have ever done. They should have stayed in the Big 12 because they were in the Big 12 championship game against Texas like back in 2010.
Yeah. Well, they used to run that conference.
Yeah. I mean, the thing, like, they were actually a respectable team at that point.
Yeah, their last winning season was 2016. They went 9-4.
Was that when we played them?
Yeah.
That's what I thought. So, I mean, it's been 8 years since they've even been to a bowl game.
Mm-hmm.
Now they're getting back on the map. Maybe Matt Rhule isn't as bad as we thought.
I mean, I don't think that Matt Rhule is a bad coach. I don't think that.
No, where was he? Was he at Baylor before he went to the Panthers?
Where was he?
Yeah, he was at Baylor.
Makes sense.
Because then, yeah, okay.
Does Clemson being ranked number 13 jump out at you?
I mean, they're always going to have a talented team. I mean, I don't think it's too surprising being at 13 again. That conference, I think you said Florida State's right in front of them.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't know what else is in that conference, to be honest, besides those two teams worth anything.
It feels like a coin flip between those two teams. So just
it's like who plays the home game. I think they go to Florida State this year.
That's true, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, that game probably going to decide, well, yeah, who goes to ACC title game, you know. So, but, I mean, I guess NC State's a surprising one not in there. Maybe, you know, people tend to love Kentucky a lot of times. I'm surprised they weren't. Like top 25-ish
right.
With the transfer quarterback in. You know, at least Klatt's got some sense, yeah. You know, not to just throw them in there.
Right.
Mark Stoops. I mean, A&M being in there, does that surprise you? I mean, I know they're right at 25, but.
I mean.
New coach and.
Yes and no.
Yeah.
I mean, I feel like, once again, they're one of the more overrated teams in the country year in and year out.
Mm-hmm.
It's just so. Like, and I get why they're there. It's just so weird to see Kansas up there because they've had such a lack of success over the past two decades.
Yeah.
And it's like they finally see a little bit here as of late, and it's like, okay, well, they've earned the respect. They've earned it. Let's put them up in there. But when we return, I want to talk about the one that's in the top 10 that I'm just absolutely just – I get why they're there, but they don't deserve to be there. And we're going to talk about that when we return. Stay with us. The G.I. Jake Show marches on right here on Fan Run Radio. Back here on the G.I. Jake Show right here on Fan Run Radio. Guys, if you haven't already, go join the 37 Club today at fanrunradio.com/the37club. We're going over Joel Klatt's post-spring top 25. I look at one team that's in the top five right now, and I just want to know what they've done. It's like you'll have one party saying, you know, what has Barack Obama done wrong? Then you have another party that says, well, what is Donald Trump that has done that is so wrong? What has Ole Miss done good? Who did they beat last year?
Mississippi State?
LSU, maybe? LSU is just as garbage as what they are.
Well, I mean, I guess you just look forward at this year. I mean, he's not really thinking about last year. I mean, they do have a talented roster. I mean, I know they lost Judkins to Ohio State, the running back. But, I mean, again, I don't know how much he takes into consideration just if he looks at the team or the upcoming schedule or what. But I would imagine he just looks at the team. Because if you look at their schedule, they're going to be a top-five team. I mean, they were borderline top 10 all last year.
Right.
Winning, what, did they win 10 games? I don't even know.
They went 11-2.
11-2, yeah.
They won their bowl game against Penn State. But, I mean, you look at how many people don't participate in those games anymore. Does it really mean anything?
I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if they make the SEC championship. I don't think I'd be surprised if that happened. Because Georgia and Texas play each other.
Right.
So, I mean, if Ole Miss can take care of, like, I mean, are they going to be favorites in every game? I don't even know. Like, I can't remember their schedule. I know we looked at it a while back, but I mean, you got to think that they're going to be like right there battling for it.
I mean, you look at the schedule for Ole Miss. They play Furman, MTSU, Wake Forest, Georgia Southern,
4-0,
Kentucky,
5-0,
South Carolina,
6-0,
LSU.
Toss up. Where is that game?
Baton Rouge.
Maybe their first test, but they're not going to be tested at all those first six.
Oklahoma.
What is that at home?
Yeah.
They should win that one.
Arkansas.
Yeah, win.
Georgia.
Probably lost. I know they probably get them at home, right?
Yep. Florida.
Win.
Mississippi State.
Yeah, win. I mean, yeah, I mean,
so they're probably a playoff team.
You got three teams in there that looks like maybe they're just toss-up games.
Brett, you had them at 11-1, and me and Jake had them at 10-2.
Okay. So.
Yep.
Well, there you go.
So that's, I mean, that's...
The unknown is just Oklahoma. We go back to that team. Like, I mean, I heard John talking about, I think the line was out for our game against them.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of surprised me a little bit, maybe. I don't know. I mean, it is kind of our first true road game.
Yeah.
Going to... I mean, they're just a toss-up on so many of our schedules when we picked them.
Well, I mean, let's call it like it is. Even when we've had those seasons where we went 8-4 or 9-4, yeah, I mean, this goes all the way back to, I mean, even the 90s, dude.
And Clyde has them a top 15 team just about. Like, you know, I didn't think they returned a lot. I know they lost a lot. I mean, they're playing a freshman quarterback like we are or first-year quarterback. Now, uber-talented just like Nico. I don't know if they were in the same class. He might be the year younger than Nico, but yeah, again, but just going back to Ole Miss, like I just don't know, you know, the love for them.
Yep.
They've yet to win a big game. You know, if you count LSU, I guess that's a big win. I know it was a high scoring game. I think it was like 55-50 last year.
55-49.
They're not going to have any issue scoring points.
No.
You know, but can they score points when it matters most?
Mm-hmm.
I know that Georgia just completely manhandled them last year in their one big game right before us. You know, like for Ole Miss, you know, so they don't have Bama.
No.
You know, who's always been a thorn in Kiffin's side.
Always.
You know, so, I mean, I don't know. I think you could pencil them in for, I mean, obviously I said 11 wins, so I think they're going to be good. Just, I go a lot by what you have returning at quarterback. And if you got a good quarterback returning, you're going to win football games in college, especially, and pros, for that matter.
But, I mean, the luckiest team in all this is still Missouri. They're going to – I mean, Joel Klatt has them at number 10 in the country. That's probably what they're going to be ranked.
Mm-hmm.
And then you look at their schedule, and it's just like, where's your competition? You play Alabama.
And it's at home, right?
No, it's at Alabama.
Oh, it is. Yeah, I think that was the one loss that we I might have had for them. I think I had them 11-1 as well.
You two had them 11-1, and I had them 10-2.
Yeah, so.
But, I mean, here's the thing.
And that's another one with Oklahoma, right? Am I wrong? Do they have Oklahoma on their schedule?
Yes.
Yeah, again, Oklahoma plays all these teams. It's crazy. Every time we mention a team, Oklahoma. It just always comes back to Oklahoma because, I mean, Oklahoma won the first year of Venables. Were, what, like 6-6?
Mm-hmm.
And then what, they win 10 last year, I think?
10-2, yeah.
10-2, but they lose Dylan Gabriel again. And, I mean, again, that's such a –
I mean, there's such an uncertainty.
Yes, exactly.
Like, that's the thing with Oklahoma.
We're the first one, and we're going to be the first one to really test them, I think. I don't know if they have a game before us. I think they may have, like, a Houston or something.
Yeah, but, I mean, you look at Tennessee's track record. I mean, like I said, this even goes all the way back to the 90s. Like, our track
record – what was the score last time we went to Norman? Do you remember?
Oh, we got
– did we get shellacked?
It was bad.
I thought we were up for a second.
Who was the coach?
Literally 1 second, yes.
Who was our coach? Do you remember? Butch was the coach?
Yeah.
Okay. Was Dobbs quarterback, or is it Garantano?
No, that was the
– or did we have somebody terrible?
That was the Justin Worley experiment. Okay. But the bad thing about that one is the whole Checker Neyland idea came from that game.
The Mayfield game, Baker game?
No, the year before.
Year before, oh, okay.
Yeah. So when they stripe the stadium out there, Butch Jones got it in his head. Hey, we're going to checker Neyland. We're going to do this. If you're in this section, you're going to wear this color. If you're
it does
in
look cool
section,
when we do it, though, I must say. When the flyover comes over.
I'm not a big fan of the gimmicks, dude.
Well, get used to it. They're going to continue.
Unfortunately, yes. They are.
I'm not one for, like, the smoky gray uniforms. I don't like those kind of gimmicks. I just keep it traditional. Keep it with your white or orange jerseys, and let's just go play football. Well, you don't need to be...
Well, if I'm not mistaken, we're getting a new smoky gray.
Are we?
This year.
What game do you think we wear it at?
I hope we don't. I think it's... Like, here's the thing. As long as you can do better than what you did on that last one, I'll take whatever you got. That last one was awful. The only thing they got right is they put an outline on the number, which I begged for. It's like, well, thank God.
What about the ones when Butch was here?
The Smoky Grays
when
then?
When we beat Florida.
Those are hot.
I mean, those
are hot.
Was that the ones when he said he went up to the mountains to, like, you know, picture the helmets and the jerseys with the Smoky Gray, you know, to really get a feel for what he wanted on jerseys?
Brick by brick.
Yeah.
At that point, at the end of that year, it had gotten so bad, Jack. Morale was down so bad.
Jack remembers it.
I was a sad boy in high school.
Buddy, it seemed like we fired Philip Fulmer to put mountains on helmets and play at NASCAR tracks. That's what it felt like.
I feel like Danny and Heupel are going to come up with something pretty good.
I mean, you would think.
Those orange helmets were a good idea.
No, they weren't.
We wore those against South Carolina.
Yeah.
Yeah, we said get rid of those immediately after we lost. And then there was talk we were going to bust them out at one game last year. I can't remember. There was just a wave of, like, a firestorm. Like, you just thought we were going to bust them out again.
No, you don't want that. But I'll say this about the orange helmets. So we already talked about a couple weeks ago, I think, about how hard it is to match the oranges because you got a different material on the number than what you do on the pants.
Mm-hmm.
And when we do the white tops, orange pants on the road, that's why it always looks like there's a different shade on each garment. And then you got a different color orange on the power tee and the stripe on the helmet.
Right.
So it just doesn't look good. So with the orange on the helmet, it's weird because if you get it, like, in this room, for example, and you get it close, if you take it outside, it's going to look completely different.
Right.
Just because that's how the color works.
Mm-hmm.
Which is why Tennessee should just stick with a white helmet.
Yeah, I agree.
I like a white helmet. You know, if you do an alternate, you know, the blackout helmet, cool. If you do the smoky gray helmet with the mountains on it, cool.
Right.
But, I mean, certain things you just don't mess with.
Yeah.
Certain things you do not mess with.
Well, and you just got to make sure you wear when you're going to win. No, you're going to win the game.
Yes.
Like homecoming, you get Mississippi State. Why not just do them homecoming?
Well, dude, we brought
but
up.
But homecoming, you want to go more traditions and stuff like that, I imagine. But
well, think about this. In 1999 against Memphis, Tennessee brought out the all-orange uniform.
Mm-hmm.
Orange tops.
Orange pants.
Orange pants. It was the first time that they had done it since Johnny Majors had been the head coach.
Right.
And, you know, Terry Fair and guys like that will tell you, it's like, you know, they begged Fulmer to wear an alternate uniform. But it's like, no, you're wearing orange and white at home. You're wearing white and white on the road.
Right.
Like, there was no discussion.
Right.
Well, T. Martin and the other seniors that year had went to Philip Fulmer and said, we want to do this. And you damn near got beat on homecoming by Memphis.
Yeah. And that Memphis has a track record, too, back then of beating us. It would beat us when Peyton was quarterback, I remember. Remember that?
That team should have went on to play for the national title.
I remember that guy returning that kickoff. He, like, landed on the guy's back or something, and it didn't go down on the kickoff return. Mm-hmm. And just I don't even know why I'm bringing that up. It's so sad.
Goodness. I mean, it could be worse. It could be worse. It could happen today.
So why do you think they put Ole Miss at 5?
I think they put Ole Miss at 5 because, you know, of course, they go 11-2 last year.
Mm-hmm.
Lane Kiffin is going to score a lot. You look at their schedule, and, I mean, it's easy to see why you would put them at top 5. It's like there's a couple of those swing games in there. I don't think they're going to beat Georgia, first and foremost. I don't think they're beating Georgia. But there are a couple of swing games in there, and I think they have a shot at winning all of them.
Yeah, and actually On3 just came out with their post-spring Heisman odds, and Jackson Dart 6th on the list.
Go ahead and read off that list.
Who do you think number 1 is? There's your 2 guys. They're tied.
Got to be Beck.
Beck's 1, yes. And there's another guy tied with him. Another SEC quarterback.
Who would it be?
New to the conference.
New to the conference.
Quarterback. New to the conference this year. Played a team last year in the conference.
It's got to be Quinn Ewers.
Yes.
I keep forgetting they're a part of the SEC now.
I thought you meant it was a new quarterback.
Oh, sorry. That's what I was trying to think. Sorry.
I thought you meant like a transfer was
coming
in.
Yeah, yeah. I should have said new team to the conference.
No, I mean, and I mean, that's easy to see.
Yeah.
And they're going to be a good team. And
Nico's 8th.
Wow.
In the Heisman odds. He's getting plus 2,000 right now.
Is it bad that I don't want any of our quarterbacks to be in the running for a Heisman?
Why?
I'm superstitious now.
Gosh. Yeah, but it means you've had a great season.
It does. I mean, but Hendon Hooker was well on his way until South Carolina.
I mean, we have a bad track record of not winning it. He's finished second. Peyton finished second.
But, I mean, you have to understand where I'm coming from, too. I had Wendy and Alan Hooker on my show,
mm-hmm.
and I said, how does it feel knowing that your son very well could be the first Heisman Trophy winner in the history of
Tennessee
football?
I don't know if he'd won it, if he'd stayed healthy, but he still should have gotten invited.
Yeah.
He had that great of a season. I mean, he's putting up extraordinary numbers on the number one team offensively in the country. Normally that gets you invited.
He was the most electrifying player in the country.
Yeah. Like, I don't even remember who won his year, to be honest.
was it Caleb Williams?
Oh, yeah, yeah, you're right. Yeah.
I mean, that's just, I don't know. He really was. He was the most electrifying player in the country that year.
Yeah, no. I mean, he was something else. I mean, that's no doubt about that.
Like, the best thing he ever did was that little high step that he would do, like to slow down his pace, you know, mm-hmm. in his stride, and then just blow right by the guy. I love that more than anything.
Yeah, a little hezzy almost, a little hesitation.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's great.
I'm out of here.
But, you know, talking more about this top 25, Missouri.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they probably got the best player in college football on their team by a lot of people, Luther Burden.
Yeah.
I mean, they lose the running back, Sheridan, who just torched us. You know, I'm interested to see if this quarterback can put back-to-back years together.
You know, that was the only game I just walked out of last year.
That was a very frustrating game, no doubt about it.
And usually when I walk out or I turn the TV off,
mm-hmm.
I'm of the mindset that this team's just not going to do anything the rest of the year. And something needs to change. And, you know, of course, the one thing that needed to change was our quarterback. And that's changed this year.
Yeah.
So, it's I don't know what to think, man. I don't know what to think about this top 10.
Who else was any other? Utah was 6, you said. Who was 7?
Alabama.
And 8 was
Michigan.
Okay.
Number 9 was Penn State.
Penn State, gosh.
That was a little, but that one.
Yeah, because you know they're going to.
They just go 10-2 every year.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing.
I don't know. Do they draw both Ohio State and Michigan? I don't know if they get both of them on their schedule again this year.
There are so many teams in these conferences now. I have no idea.
Big Ten now. I mean, they could draw USC and Oregon. It could still be as difficult, or it could be even harder for them. You know, you're not going to get those cake wins. You know, they're even more cake than what, you know, we have at the back end that Missouri and Ole Miss are going to be playing.
So they still play Ohio State. They get that at home. But other than that, they don't play Michigan. They're playing Washington.
Oh, who's not good.
At USC, but are they even?
Yeah, I don't even know.
I mean, they're in that top 25, so they got something. But it's
pretty
looking winnable.
And, yeah. Sounds like another 10, 11, possibly depending on what Aller does.
That's so funny. They're going to have to go all the way to USC to play that game. That's ridiculous.
The drastic difference in temperature is going to be the big thing.
Well, it depends on, do they go end of the season? Or is it like mid?
October 12th.
Well, you got to think, that's a different kind of heat out there, man.
I didn't know, like, LA's probably not that bad in October, is it?
I went in April.
Especially if it's a night game. I thought it was like, people always say it's like the same temperature all year round out there.
Oh, no, it is not.
Oh, really?
Those people are lying to you. Those people are lying to you. Because let me tell you about Southern California, okay? I was out there the end of April through May, right?
Yeah.
Like April 20th through May 19th, something like that.
Right.
Brett, I went to bed one night. It started to get a little chilly. I just kept my T-shirt on and, you know, my fatigue pants, my boots. And then sat in the Humvee with the hatch open. The turret was open. I woke up, I was covered in snow. I hated life. I was cold and hungry because all I had was spaghetti MREs for 30 days, Brett.
Jeez.
It was awful. It was absolutely terrible. Stay with us. Final segment of hour number one coming up right here on Fan Run Radio. Athletics. SMathletics.com. It was called today at 865. 966-3434 if you need anything done for your team, for your business, for yourself. We got it all here at SM Athletics. 10625 Checkerboard Lane in Knoxville. Come check us out. Is there anything else that we need to go over in this top 25? Does Miami stand out to you at all?
I was shocked they were a part of this at all, yeah. They're just...
Haven't they had a good season transfer-wise? I mean, I know they got the running back from Oregon State, who I thought we should have gone after. He had us in the top five. I thought he's scheduled to visit and everything. But
John Ruiz paid for him to come down there.
Yeah. They got the transfer quarterback, Cam Ward, I believe, right?
Yep.
From Houston. Sure. Mm-hmm. Houston. So
Washington State? One of the
or
two.
He may have gone. I feel like he's transferred a few times, maybe.
He has.
I don't know. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I mean, they were off. They had some weird losses last year. Obviously, the strangest loss I've ever – one of the strangest losses I've ever seen.
That's what I was going to bring up. That was one of the weirdest things I've ever seen.
I mean, this
still
is make or break. It's got to be pretty soon for Cristobal. I mean, he came from Oregon and went back home to his, you know, alma mater, I guess, and they were expecting big things. And he's kind of he's kind of struggled a little bit.
Look up Cristobal's stats. I'm going to look up Manny Diaz. See if they're in a better situation now than what they were. Because Manny Diaz was not doing a terrible job.
Yeah, did he end up getting fired, right? And
he got fired.
Did he go be the DC at Penn State?
Yeah, and now he just took the head coaching job at Duke. He went.
Oh, that's right.
He did go 21-15 as head coach at Miami.
24-15?
21-15.
21. And three seasons? Is that, like three seasons?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And, like, funny thing is, it's like, he didn't play.
They opened their season with Florida.
Mm-hmm.
Which, at Florida. So, obviously, that's a big game for those two
programs
right there. You know, both are trending. Miami's trying to get back up, and Florida's trending down, we think, this year.
Did you know that he was a part of that staff? He was a GA when we beat him in the Fiesta Bowl, Florida State.
Really?
That was his first year as a head – or not a head coach, but his first year on staff anywhere.
Hmm. What's Cristobal done, Jack?
5-7 and 7-6 last year. Then they lost to Rutgers in a bowl game.
Ooh, Shiano.
So Manny Diaz, I mean, he did better each year that he was at Miami. 6-7, lost in the Independence Bowl, 8-3, lost in the Cheez-It Bowl, finished number 22 in the country. And then his last year, he went 7-5, finished second in the division, and they didn't give him the opportunity to coach the bowl game.
Wow.
So right now, who would you say has done a better job at Miami?
I mean, I guess right now you'd say they're very similar. They're all on the same kind of trajectory. I mean, which is neutral, it seems like. I mean, to go 7-5 or 5-7 in that conference when you're really only mm-hmm. playing like a Florida State and Clemson. They don't even play Clemson this year. So they play Florida State. But, like, I mean, your drop-off is pretty significant. I mean, Louisville kind of had a fluke season this past season. I mean, but, I mean, I guess just thinking on it, you got to think Manny Diaz. I mean, anytime a coach doesn't just down the ball when you have a chance to win a football game.
That was stupid.
That's a bad coach.
That was really bad. That really might be the dumbest coaching decision of all time.
I mean, Mark Richt did better than these guys.
Mark Richt, 10-3
season at least.
Well, and we talked
about him being down there.
Well, we talk about how bad he would choke seasons away at Georgia. I mean, you look at the 2012 SEC championship game. His receiver, when Aaron Murray threw him the ball, he just fell down because he thought he was in the end zone.
Mm-hmm.
If he just turns around, he gets into the end zone, and they're going to the national championship, and they would have probably won it.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know.
Georgia waited a long time.
Yeah.
They waited a long time.
I don't know. I guess we'll see. I mean, this, like I said, this seems like a make-or-break year for Cristobal. I mean, he can't go 7-5 again, I don't think. I don't think they'll like it down there. And I mean, you know, yeah, it's a big season. You know, they have a weak schedule. I mean, the conference is weak. I know they open Florida, which sounds like it'd be a tough game to open with, but that's kind of a must-win to start your season. Because Florida's really down
for both teams.
Yeah. I mean,
you don't win that game.
Because I mean, you're talking like if Miami or Florida. I mean, Florida we think is trending down anyway, whether they win or lose that game. But yeah, that's a big game for Miami to go on the road and beat Florida.
I mean, Miami they went through a rough patch at one point, like went through a really really rough patch. You had Larry Coker, who won the national title in 2001.
That team, my goodness. That's one of the greatest teams ever assembled.
Ken Dorsey, Willis McGahee, Kellen Winslow, Sean
Taylor. Had another
Taylor.
Running back in there, too. I can't remember his name. Frank Gore, maybe?
I think it might have been Frank Gore.
Yeah, I mean, just stupid. Just stupid.
It was quite possibly, Jack, one of the best teams that you'd ever watched.
Stacked. I mean, yeah. Hearing all those names, yeah. The fact that
Hall
I know
of
some
fame,
of
yeah.
them.
Yeah, they were good, man. They were something else.
And then
we beat them down there, didn't we? When Colquitt had the punt?
Yeah. I think that thing hung in the air
and
for
like
6 seconds.
And that's the famous Kellen Winslow, right? I'm a soldier.
Yeah. He said, I don't give a you-know-what about a Vol. Yeah.
We beat them 10-6?
Yes. It was atrocious.
It was the most beautiful punt you've ever seen.
Like, Jack, we're not kidding. It hung in the air. Like, this is back when they still had hang time.
Yeah.
Did we have a kickoff return for a touchdown or something? Was that our only score? I don't remember.
I don't even remember who scored that day.
Yeah.
All I remember is we just wanted to go down there and not get shellacked.
Yeah. Yeah, that was awesome.
If only you could have seen it, Jack. Were you even born?
I was one.
2003.
Yep.
Oh, goodness.
So after after that happened, Jack, a few years later, Miami had an incident with, I think it was Florida International.
Yeah.
In which there was, no joke, helmets being thrown. I'm not kidding.
Why?
Like, it's one of the top five college football brawls of all time.
What did Florida International do to them?
We don't know.
Fan Run Radio is proud.
I don't know why it does My that.
Lord. And we don't know why that just happened.
I don't either.
Anyway.
My bad.
So, that happened. Larry Coker either left or got fired. I don't know what happened. Then they had Randy Shannon. He was awful. He went 28-22. And then Al Golden, he went 32-25. And then Mark Richt, only coached 3 seasons, could have had them playing in a national title game, or at least in the college football
they
playoff.
They went through coaches like we did.
Yeah. I mean, they've been just as dysfunctional, if not worse.
It says in 2006 they played in the MPC Pewters Bowl. What in the hell is that?
These bowl games, man, these days.
What?
Dude, you think the...
That's in 2006?
Dude, there was a Weed Eater Bowl back then.
Well, now we got Snoop Dogg bowl games. Did you see that one that was announced yesterday?
Dude,
the Gin and Juice Bowl. There's something else to it, but it's like presented by Gin and Juice. Like Snoop Dogg and Dre. I forgot what bowl it is. It's like maybe, I can't remember. I'd assumed it was in like Las Vegas or something, but I don't think it was. But yeah, he's got a, yeah, he's got a bowl game. It was on Barstool did last year, wherever that one was.
There used to be a Blockbuster Bowl.
We could be here for the rest of the day just naming ridiculous bowl games.
Like, we might be doing that in the 11:20 slot today. We very well might do that just because there are so many. Oh, my goodness. What in the world is this? It actually, that was a thing.
What?
Oh, my God. That was a thing. The Gotham Bowl. 1961, 1962.
Wow.
New York City.
That's pretty crazy.
What? That's pretty dumb.
I don't know. Batman's dope.
I've never seen it.
You never seen Batman's?
No.
Oh, my God.
You haven't seen a single Batman movie?
No, I've never seen Batman, never seen Star Wars.
Dark Knight?
No.
Golly, goat movie almost.
Oh, my Lord, Jake. What are you watching?
So, Jack is unfamiliar. This has been a thing ever since I was on the drive.
I don't do a whole lot of movies, but I know I've seen my fair share. But for you not to see, like, a Batman, I mean, they've been going since early 90s, late 80s.
Never seen that. Never seen Star Wars.
Any Marvel?
No.
Dude, what? That's insane. Sports. Just straight sports.
I've seen a couple.
That's your entertainment. Okay.
I've seen a couple. Not many. Yeah, dude, this has been a thing ever since I was on the drive. I just don't watch many movies.
Wow.
Never have. Probably never will.
I don't know what to say.
It could be worse.
Yeah, it could
be. You can name off children's movies that I have not seen.
Seen Finding Nemo?
No, actually.
Dude, what?
Never seen it from start to finish. There's a story behind that one. I don't want to embarrass my little brother about how he got scared in a movie theater at 4 years old because it was dark.
Tells the whole story.
I mean, there it is, man. There it is. I did watch the Pop-Tart movie.
The Unfrosted or whatever? The recent one that just came out with Seinfeld?
Yeah.
Wow.
I like Pop-Tarts.
Pop-Tart movie?
Yeah. It's a Pop-Tart movie.
What are we talking about?
I don't know.
Bob was talking about that yesterday. He said it was terrible. Did you think it was terrible?
I didn't hate it.
Really?
Yeah. There's a lot of comedic relief in it.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, it's called Unfrosted or something like that.
Okay.
I've seen it a bunch. It's on Netflix, right, or something?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Donovan has posted the Dustin Colquitt punt.
Really?
Yes. It was a legitimate 5 full seconds of hang time.
Did it bounce at all? I know he boomed it. That's all I remember. Like, he was in his, like, was he in his own end zone almost?
And
did he post a video?
Well, he was at, like, our own 20.
Yeah.
Like, that's the thing is, he was at our own 20.
Yeah, just trying
to. And then just absolutely destroyed that ball.
Yeah.
I mean, absolutely destroyed it.
What punter you back then?
Oh, I love this video quality. Oh, my God.
There's like nobody in the crowd, right? It was like an empty stadium.
Well, I mean, that's been a thing in Miami. I mean, they were number 4 in the country, and they couldn't fill the stadium.
They were number 4 at the time? Were we ranked on there?
So, Colquitt's standing at about the 12.
Okay.
The 13.
I knew he was pretty far back. Yeah.
A minute and 55 left in the game.
Are we winning?
Yes, we're up 10-6. So, he takes the snap, just absolutely drills it. 1 second, 2 second, 3 second, 4 second, 5 second. Sean Taylor fumbles it at the 20, and I can't tell because of the pixelation, but it looked like James Banks recovered the fumble.
And we were just able to kneel it down after that, right?
And then Dustin Colquitt celebrates and then hobbles off the field to let everybody know he's still hurt.
That's amazing.
Man, things were great. Things were great.
We weren't that good.
10-6 is...
We were unranked in 03, right?
No, we were number 13 in the country.
Oh, we were then?
06, we weren't that good.
Maybe that's the year I was thinking. Yeah.
Or not 06, but 02, we were not that good.
Okay. So the year before. Yeah.
Yeah, 03 was the year that we finished like 10-...
Clausen wasn't quarterback then, was he?
Yeah, it was his last year.
Okay.
But, like, we finished with a decent record, and we were mad that we had to go to the Peach Bowl because we lost out on a three-way tie between us and Georgia for the East.
That's right, yeah.
And then we lost to dadgum Clemson. Dadgum Clemson. Yeah, that's going to do it for hour number one. Hour number two of the G.I. Jake Show coming up right here on Fan Run Radio.